Okay, so this is a bit of an icebreaker. Eliza, if you could just step to the front a little bit. We've got some choice insects here. Go a bit closer so everyone can see. And we're going to get Joseph to identify some of these creatures. So, Aseli, if you could hold up the first one, please. Hold it up high so everyone else can see. Joseph, what is that creature called? What is that insect called?
A butterfly.
Are you sure?
Moth. No, a moth.
I think it might be a butterfly. Okay. Aseli, if you could hold up the second one, please. Nice and high. Joseph, what is this one called?
An ant.
That's correct. It's an ant. Right, turn around so everyone can see you, actually. Right, number three. Joseph, what is this one?
Easy. A grasshopper.
No, that one's not a grasshopper. It's a bit spindly to be a grasshopper. Do you want to try again? Not sure.
No.
Okay, that's a praying mantis. Okay, and last but not least, Joseph. Or two more. Sorry. Okay, what's this one?
A fly.
That's right, it's a common fly. Take a bath. Take a bath. Last but not least, this one here. Do you know?
A beetle.
It is a beetle. Well done. Well done. Thank you. Thank you, children. Now, does anyone know what this creature is? It is a grasshopper. But did you know that grasshoppers are very closely related to locusts? Apparently, the only difference is in their behaviour. When grasshopper numbers start to grow and become quite large, and conditions around them are quite dry and very hot, this triggers a change in them, and they turn into locusts. And locusts are going to be a feature of my talk today. Now, on their own, locusts are fairly harmless, but in swarms of hundreds of millions, they can be very destructive. So we're going to have a look at a video clip showing how destructive and threatening they can be.
Since ancient days, locusts have plagued mankind, and even today they create disasters of vast proportions. These are the deadliest swarms of all, for locusts can ravage entire countries, destroying the lives and livelihoods of millions.
Generally, you'll see a locust swarm from a distance, and it looks like a cloud of smoke lying low over the horizon. As it gets closer, the swarm actually rolls as it's moving along. Locusts near the front of the swarm will land, and locusts at the rear of the swarm will be jumping up and joining the ones in the air. So as many locusts as you see in the air, there will be an equal number probably in the grass underneath that swarm. A swarm can contain as many as 40 billion individuals, and it can stretch for up to 20 miles.
But it's not just the numbers of locusts that creates the problem. It's the size of their appetites. Their powerful jaws cut through vegetation at an incredible rate. In one day, a single swarm can consume 100,000 tons of food, enough to feed a million people for nearly a year.
So today, I'll be talking about another one of the minor prophets in the Bible we've been covering this month, and today I'll be covering the prophet Joel. Now, Joel's prophecy came at a time when Judah was in the grip of a locust invasion, and this caused great hardship and devastation. The land was being stripped away of everything it produced: crops, vegetation, pastures, even the bark of trees. Anything that grew, in fact, the locusts devoured. So this locust invasion was part of the backdrop of Joel's prophecy. And early on in the book of Joel, chapter 1, he describes the destruction that this locust plague causes. So in Joel chapter 1, slide number 1, it says here, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Now, Joel's language here describes the attack of these swarms of locusts as if they're coming in waves. First the chewing locust, then the swarming locust, followed by the crawling locust, all doing the same thing, eating away at the goodness of the land. And these waves of attacks by the locusts in Joel's account can be just like the waves of challenges and problems and difficulties that can trouble us in our lives today. So these can be financial pressures, health issues, problems at work, relationships, difficulties, and so much more. Sometimes, just like locusts, these things can keep coming and coming and coming at us. In my own life, I've experienced this, as I'm sure many of you have. Just as I've dealt with one problem, another one arises to take its place, and then another, and then another. And these issues, these problems keep coming in quick succession and in a short space of time. And during such challenging times, I can often feel like not praying. I'm so overwhelmed with problems and difficulties that I don't stop and call out to God. I'm not inspired to pray. I might feel that I should turn my actions instead to dealing with all these things rather than praying about them first. But if I do this, if I don't pray, I'm turning away from God. And if I continually do this, then this turning away then eventually becomes a departure. I will leave God altogether and not pray about anything. I'll no longer come to him or submit to him because I'm far too busy just doing and doing and doing. Doing things, trying to resolve things in my own strength. And I think this may have been what happened in Judah. The people had taken their eyes, their dependence away from God and put them onto other things. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses warns God's people about what would happen if they turned away from him. Moses prophesied that locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. Part of Joel's prophecy during this locust invasion was an instruction to God's people to return to him, call out to him in their distress. In Joel chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." So God was calling them to come to him in their difficulty, to call out to him and not to remain silent. And it's the same with us today. As his people, he wants us to call out to him, tell him what's going on in our lives. He doesn't want us to be silent, to give him the silent treatment. Joel adds a bit more substance to this calling out to God, instructing Judah to then turn back to him. In chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." And verse 13 says, "Rend your heart and not your garments." So God is more interested in our hearts, not on the things on the outside. He's not going to be impressed with us tearing away at our clothes. He'd prefer if we tore away at our hardened hearts, just exposed our hearts to him so we have soft hearts. And then it goes on to say, "Return to your God, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." And verse 14 says, "Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him?" This hint at a blessing turns into a material promise in verse 19 of that same chapter. It says in verse 19, "Look, I'm sending you grain and new wine." So this is after there's been a famine in the land because of the locust invasion. So the people have nothing. Everything's been wiped out. "Look," the Lord says, "I'm sending you grain and new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs." And this promise is given more substance. Into verse 25, he says, "I will give back to you what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, the stripping locusts, the cutting locusts." In the New King James Version, it puts it like this: "I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locusts has eaten." But this promise from God doesn't stop here. There's another part to it. There's a greater part, a promise to restore Judah spiritually. So in chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, it says this. Then after doing all those things, after restoring your fields, etc., I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. Now, if we jump forward 800 years or so to the book of Acts, it describes this part of Joel's prophecy coming to pass in quite dramatic fashion. So Peter and the other disciples were waiting in Jerusalem as Jesus instructed them, waiting in that upper room at Pentecost when this happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. It says here that everyone in that upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, speaking in tongues. That's really powerful. Imagine if that happened in this place. Now, this powerful occurrence caused quite a stir in Jerusalem at the time, and many people came running to find out what was going on. And what was all this noise, the sound of a storm and all that babbling? Had the disciples been drinking? This is when Peter stands up with the other apostles, raises his voice and addresses the crowd, reminding them of Joel's prophecy of God's promise to pour out his Holy Spirit. This is in Acts 2, verses 14 to 18. It says this, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And Peter then goes on to reiterate Joel's prophecy of God pouring out his Holy Spirit on his people. And since that day in the upper room in Jerusalem, God has continued to pour out his Spirit on people. So this morning, what is our response to Joel's prophecy, to the Holy Spirit being poured out on us? Do we want to meet with God in this way and be transformed like Jesus' disciples were in that upper room? I think we should be welcoming God's Spirit to be among us this morning. If I could ask the musicians to just come to the front, please, as I finish by saying that today is an opportunity for us to open our mouths to God, not to be silent, but to call out to him, to say to the Lord, I want to pray. I want to pray to you. I want to tell you something. Even if you don't quite know what to say to him, perhaps it's been a long time since you last prayed, or perhaps you've never prayed. Not really. In Psalm 81, it says this, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. He can fill you with a reply that is all about you talking to him, really talking to him from your heart. So don't be worried about coming to God and allowing him to open your heart. Now, if you'd like to perhaps come together in twos or threes, I would really, really encourage you to open your hearts to God. And as the musicians lead us in worship again, we're going to sing a song called Holy Spirit Come. Just help us, usher us into God's presence. Sorry, we're going to do Shout to the Lord first. So if you'd like to gather in twos and threes to pray, that would be great. Just to be humble before God, before each other also. Don't be afraid to share. You can just ask for who you're praying with to just call out to God for Him to loosen anything in you that stops you from being open to Him.
Fantastic, fantastic. Brilliant. This morning, if you're visiting, welcome to our time together. I just wanted to say congratulations to two of our guys here. I wonder if James Bissell and I wonder if Sarah Law would stand up for us. Could James and Sarah stand up? We just want to say a massive congratulations to these two guys because of their fantastic A-level results, the fact they're going to the universities they wanted to go to. So let's give them a big, big round. Well done, guys. Well done. Fantastic. Fantastic. Also, it's Sarah's birthday. Come on down, Sarah. Here we... It's fantastic. Now, we don't normally, especially with a lady, we wouldn't mention the age. We wouldn't do it. No, it'd be very impolite. But this is a special one. This is 18. So let's sing happy birthday to Sarah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yes, yes, yes. Fantastic. In a couple of weeks, just before they both go off to uni, we'll be getting them out the front here. We'll be praying for them, sending them out. So looking forward to a special time in a couple of weeks' time. This morning, it's a special morning. I just want to say a big thank you to the Stern family. Mercy, stand up, please. Thank you for the Sterns that are leading us and helping us this morning to have such a fantastic time. A couple of things I just want to mention before we continue our time here. Just firstly to mention that next Sunday, first Sunday of the month, we have a collection for Food Bank. The Food Bank stuff goes to Chalk Farm Baptist Church, where it's used and handed out. And we've got a special, there's a list of specific items that the Food Bank folks are short of. It's basically for people who are in financial difficulty here in Camden. And it's a way as Christians of practically helping. I won't read out the list now, but I'll put the list on Facebook. I'll email it around. There's just specific items, not general items, specific things they're short of at the moment. So I'll send it around later this week, and if you could bring it next to any of these things, that would be most kind. A very practical thing we can do as Christians to touch the lives of those who need it at this time. Second thing I want to mention is this, is that the school, we've been in this school now for about 20 years, and it's a long time. When the school have been gracious and helpful to us over that time, they have changed the way that they're doing lettings. And as is common with many, many schools here in London, that they're employing a letting agency to manage. So the school teachers, the head, the school keepers, they do all the stuff for the kids. Out of school hours, a letting agency then is going to run the school. And so they've started in already, and we're working with them. And it's a real blessing, actually. I'm praying that rather than it be something that's a difficult thing, it will be a blessing. There's a number of things which are rolling out, which are good. But just to let you know, there are going to be some changes. One of them is that the sports pitch behind us, that previously we've just kind of used it on an ad hoc, if no one was using it basis, we've now booked it, so it's available every week for the children and young people. So after the service, it's going to be available. Normally, it'll be 12:15 to 1:15. It's going to be available. It's the AstroTurf behind us here, playing football and other sports. So just to say, parents, if you can keep your eye on your children, if you're taking them out there, keep your eye upon them. But I think it'll be a good thing before we've been competing with whoever else happened to pitch up. But now we've booked it, we have to pay for it, but they've given us a very good rate. So it's a new season for us here in terms of using the school. I think it's a real positive thing. One of the things the school's very keen on is security, and they don't want people just wandering in and out of the school premises. Therefore, the front gate's going to be locked, and there's a little gate to the side that you press a buzzer and you simply say, "I'm New Life Church," and they'll let you in. And it's to stop people just wandering off the street and to make the school a more secure place. Again, that's a good thing. So just warning that from next week, you see the gate shut, you think, "Oh dear, what's happened?" Just to the right of the gate, there's a gate with a buzzer. You press the button there and simply say you're from New Life. On the way out, there's an exit button to release the gate. But it's just, it's a good thing in that it secures the perimeter of the school so that only people that are renting the school can use the school facilities. So just to forewarn you, that kind of process is going on. So it's going to be, I think it'll be a positive thing. And I've already put my pitch in about the heating. You'd be glad to know. The fact we would love to have continuous heating over the winter rather than the ad hoc approach we've been having before. So I've already put my pitch in for some hot winters ahead. Coming up in a few weeks' time, not long now, I got on the way in, I gave you a leaflet, and on that leaf was a little multicolored leaf for the invitation to the International Service. John, come and tell us a little minute about what's happening in the International Service. It's been a great time, such fun, such good time. John, what's happening this year? It's on the 25th of September. John, come and tell us about it.
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, it's that time of the year again, and something already happened about the International Service. Last week, I was at work, and Lola and I had actually talked about what we're going to wear for the International Service. And we're thinking of this and that and this and that and this. And I got to work that day, and a senior colleague of mine just called me and said, let's go somewhere. And I said, where are we going? She said, don't worry, I just want to show you some stuff. She took me to this beautiful store that has beautiful dresses and says, pick anyone that you like. It's a dress from an Asian background. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it was very, very beautiful. So when I picked it, I was expecting to, oh, this is expensive. How am I going to pay for this? I probably have to buy now and pay later. But she graciously said, no, I just wanted to say thank you for all the things you've been doing for me in the office, and I'm going to buy this for you. So she actually bought the dress for this year's International Day. So the International Service is an opportunity for us to share God's love and mercy and blessings to everyone, cutting across race and gender. It's about what Jesus has done. And what Jesus would like us to do is to reach out to everyone. And it's a good thing that even before the International Service, I'm already thinking far ahead that who am I going to invite for this year's International Service? And I got my list. And I just believe that everyone here, we just have a list of saying, come and share with me the beauty of being a Christian. And I believe on that day that Jesus will be here to celebrate with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Fantastic. Please, at the end of our time together, please stay for lunch. We've got a main course along the back, and we've got some desserts along the side. So please, when we finish our time together this morning, please hang around, stay around. We're going to be having some lunch. Just a word to the children, please don't dive in. I know we've got some very keen children that love to get to the food. Fantastic. But just hang on at the end, because we're just going to say grace before we start. If you've got preschool children, we've got the room for them, which is just out the door there to the right. So now's the time. If you've got preschool children and you'd like to move them, now's a good time to go. Okay.
And, Joel Isaac in where are they? In New York. Wow, very nice too. Fantastic. Got a very special time. This morning, any time with Jesus is special. And this morning, we're welcoming somebody very special amongst us. No, David is going to be leading this morning with his lovely family, Mercy, Eliza, Aseli, and Joseph. So I'll hand over to this wonderful bunch of people now.
Let's welcome everyone, and thank you for giving us the privilege to lead this service this morning. If I can just open with a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to lead worship in your church this morning. And Lord, I just pray for your blessing to be upon us as we receive your word and as we lift up your name in worship. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 And I think we're going to go straight into the worship song. The first one is called We Have Come. So over to you, Mercy.
Thank you. Can we all stand, please? Thank you. The Bible says that the steadfast love of our Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. We want to just say to the Lord today that we are grateful to him, that we love him, and the words of these songs simply just say that. And yes, enjoy.
As we were worshipping, just to encourage us to be engaged. I had a picture of, you know, those kind of like marshmallow sandwiches that have like a bit of a wafer and they're all kind of like fluffy inside and they give you about 10 seconds satisfaction. But I felt God was saying to us that Jesus is the bread of life. He said that my blood is true drink, my flesh is true food, that he really wants to feed our souls as we worship. I felt he's encouraging us to believe that as we engage with him in our praise, in our worship this morning, that he wants to feed our souls. So as we sing this this next song, I just want to really encourage you to reach out to the bread of life. Maybe we could just stand, should we? And let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you have given your son. We thank you that he died on the cross for us. We thank you that he shed his blood so that we could come to you. We thank you that he gave his life that we might have food for our spirits, food for our souls. And Lord, we want to engage with you with all our being this morning. Father, we want to receive that goodness that you have for us. Lord, as we draw near to you, Father, would you continue to draw near to us. Amen. And to reveal yourself to our hearts. Amen.
And also, Lord, you said if we give unto you, that you'll give back to us, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, and this next song is appropriately called Happy Day.
The greatest day in history.